let's roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. She so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. She so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me eggs. Yo, 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 what up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week, man. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. And tonight, y'all know I'm going to do the same thing again. Word. But before we get into that, y'all know how I do each and every week. I got to give it up to all the people that download the audio version of this platform. Y'all are real MVPs. I say that each and every week for a reason, because like I said, most people get into this content creation game and they focus on this part right here, because to be honest with you, the visual part is how people do go viral, right? But for the most part, when you're doing these platforms like this, you have to treat it like a business, right? And for the most part, podcasting is the audio portion, not so much the visual. The visual is like an extra, right? But it's really the audio. So for all the people that download the audio version, because you got to think about it. When people just want to hear what you got to say, they don't care about how you look. That's different because, you know, for the most part, most people only tune in to certain people based on how they look, right? And not necessarily whether they got substance or not. But when it comes down to the audio part, it's just about the substance and what you're talking about and what your guests are talking about. So we got to give it up for that, all right? So double salute to all the people that download the audio version of this platform. Y'all know the vibes, y'all. Y'all know we rocking. So outside of that, y'all know what we're going to do, too. I want y'all to get into the links, man. Click the links in the descriptions. Y'all know all the supporters of the platform. But listen, I do got to give a double shout out to Lit Sticks in the building. You know, Lit Sticks, the premium pre-roll brand, yo, all right? So, you know, they're official sponsors of Sparking Conversation, and it's a lot going on with that. And I want y'all to stay active and stay connected on my page to know about that because, you know what I'm saying, it's a minority-owned company. And, you know, I'm getting out of this whole black owned. I'm done with that, right? Because I'm sick of us having to identify as a color that we're all not. And even in any event that people that are that particular color or whatever, when it comes down to the tone of their skin or skin tone, however, you know what I'm saying? Like, it still doesn't define who we are as a people. We're way more than that, right? And at the end of the day, they categorize us and they group us all in based on a color, but that gives us no heritage, that gives us no connection and nothing, just being connected. We might as well all be related to a crayon box then, if all we could do is go by what we look like what's the color, like we black, we all black, like nah. And then they think that we all supposed to think alike and feel alike because of the sharing of the same struggle. But that's not the vibe, yo, because for the most part, there are a lot of people that are going through things that are similar. And then there are those people who are going through things that are extraordinary that most people, when if they was going through it, they would have buckled and bent and just crawled up under a rock somewhere. And before I get into what's going on, because with my guest that's coming on tonight, man, we're going to get into a lot of that, right? We're going to get into a communication about how it is to be that type of person that's in a certain type of fight when you got to put your fight up for somebody else. Because in the situation that they're in, they're not able to fight the way that they need to for themselves. But the fight that they do have to do is to stay alive. Now, for so many people out here, they look at us as those that they call these people of color. And they expect us to go through things and just be able to take it because, you know, we got to be so used to struggle. We so desensitized to the fact that our lives can be a whole lot better, but we not. We so attached to the struggle that when we go through things and we go through things that are unjust or we go through things that, you know, that is just not fair, that people look at us and feel like, nah, you know, when it come to y'all, if it's something that you're in, it's because you're in it. But nobody want to get to the root of things, right? Nobody want to get to the cause, the reason why we think the way we do, we act the way we do, emotionally, why we're not as intelligent as most people expect us to be, because we have to go by the things of the people before us. And you got to realize, if we're coming out of generations of that had to deal with slavery, Jim Crow, segregation, lynching, and all that other stuff, can you imagine the mindset of the kids or what was taught to the kids in each generation? It was nothing but fear. most of us that look like me, we have to go through this whole thing of figuring out who we are, but we have to fight through fear to figure that out. Right? And then there's so many other people in this world that start with a head start that they don't have to start with fear. And that's the thing. It's not so much whether a person be smarter or not because they're another race or another color or they had other scenarios in their life that opened up doors for them at a young age so they can be introduced to things. Nah, that ain't what it is at all because we know for so many people, all they have to do is be introduced to something and then bam, you never know, they take off. So it ain't about that. Well, it's about the fact of how many of us have to start our life fighting through fear. Fear of everything. Fear of rejection. Fear of the fact of, you know, abandonment. Because unfortunately, those that look like me, those are the two things that we deal with the most. We deal with abandonment. We deal with abandonment more than we deal with everything else in this world. And for the most part, whether you a man or a woman, we find ways to separate ourselves from each other just because we don't want to accept the fact that we all in the same boat. We like to think that one person worse than the other just based on their gender. And thanks to y'all and all this gender wars, now you got people out here confused of what gender they are. Now people don't even know what they are. They talking about they not what they born. Because we have made it so much about against the other person to the point where people develop identities to develop other versions of people because they don't want to identify with the negativity that comes with either or. Because whether you're a man or you're a woman, you're going to get blamed for something just because you're a man or a woman, not because you're just a bad person or whether you're just a messed up person or life is just messed up for you. We have no empathy for each other, y'all. And I don't understand that because life is not set up for us to have no empathy for each other. If we all understand that we come from the same struggle, it's similar. It may not be exactly the same, but it's a similar struggle. If we know that we all come from that, how in the world can we not have empathy for each other? Enough to understand that, yo, we shouldn't be in situations where we're robbing each other, where we're stealing from each other, where we're killing each other. But that's not the vibe, though, from us. When we look at each other, we see a come up. We see a person that don't deserve. We see a person that's less than. Because why? I told y'all, the mentalities of how we had to come out of the things from the people before us, they passed down this damn mentality to us to make us feel like that. Now you got grown people talking about they can't trust nobody, not knowing that every time you say that, you're a person that can't be trusted. I don't know why people think that because they say that. That's a flex. I don't trust people. You're just saying to us, we don't need to trust you. That's all you're doing, yo. It ain't like you flexing because you say you don't trust nobody. That's corny. We don't care about who you trust and who you don't trust. The fact of the matter is, can you be trusted? Word. Because if you're a person that can be trusted, it don't matter the way other people going to be thinking and doing. You just got to hold a stand in your own square. You don't jump off the bridge because everybody else do. You stand on your own square. So that's my vibe, and that's what I mean. We go through so much in life just hiding behind the fact that we don't want to take accountability for the fact that we all share the same struggle. It's maybe a little different, but it's similar in the outcomes of the things that we had to go through, y'all. There's no way that we should be this divided over anything. It's so much, right? Because then now they got this potential war going over there with Iran and all this other shit, right? Putting everybody in a potential space where there's other people who got attitudes with each other that the people around them are the people that wound up getting hurt. And if that don't remind y'all of the same thing that go on into our everyday neighborhoods, that don't remind y'all of the same stuff that go on every day. You got a bunch of people in your neighborhoods that cause ruckus and cause havoc, and they look just like you. They got similar in situation with you, similar backgrounds with you, and they look just like you, and look at what they doing, right? And I just want y'all to know, man, out of everything else, we know it's been a bunch of riots. It's been a bunch of, you know, protests and stuff like that. No kings and all these other things, man. They just using the energy of the poor, man. They're just using y'all energy. Like, it's crazy how y'all just allowing them to use y'all energy to go out there and fight for you. If this don't remind you, like, all right, so boom. I know a lot of people because, you know, I got guests on tonight, so we're going to get into some stuff, but I just want y'all to get into this into the mindset of what we got to talk about, right? But look, man, let's just think about this. I know a lot of people are not so much into whether it's religious or spiritual or not, but I don't know how y'all don't see the spiritual connection to what's going on out here. If you paid attention to anything from before, if you read anything, even if you touched the Bible before, all the certain deities and all of these things that people claim that they prayed to right back then and everything that they did during that time, if that don't still remind y'all that it's got to be the same people that's in charge right now, because look what's going on. Y'all gotta understand the things that are happening to us out here and the things that are being set up and the way people are being used and the things in the food and things in the air and things in the water. It cannot be human beings that are out here running and starting all this. I'm sorry, y'all. My thing is not to really be convinced or try to make nobody else convinced whether they feel like that's real or not. Whether you believe in something or not, don't got nothing to do with what's real. All I know is in common sense ain't common, but using common sense, if you could just pay attention, you can see it. It's not hard for you to see. It's just what your mind is willing to see, right? But look, I had a couple of other notes that I wanted to get into, but you know how I do. I got to give y'all that rant before I get into all this other shit, because at the end of the day, this is sparking conversation, and this is what we do. We get into the mix and we bring up conversations. But tonight we got to talk about something a little serious, because you know I'm still in the business of helping impacted families, right? Because I'm a firm believer that, yo, if something was to happen to you in a way where you just cannot understand it and why, and no matter what a person tells you, you just can't figure it out, not knowing that whether it's your purpose or your destiny is connected to whatever happens to you, you're still going to want people out there that'll fight for you. You're still going to want people out there that's going to speak to your character, that's going to speak for who you are, when you know the world is going to get a picture that's painted of you that's just not you. We understand how the media and how all these other things can paint the picture of a person, and it's not even that. You find out later on. Look at the stuff that's going on with Tory Lanez. All of this stuff that he went through just to come to find out, all this new evidence that the man never did it. Like, yo, it's foul. That because of a color, yo, we're attached to so much agony. Right? It's crazy, man. And I ain't the one to separate us by sexes, but I know they talk so much about the woman and how the woman is not protected, and even though she don't want to be protected, right? And all of these other things that go on, and I'm telling y'all, and I can't speak for all men, and that's one of the things that I never get up here and do and try to be a man's man, in the fact that I'm speaking for all men, because I know all men don't think like me. But I'm going to be honest with y'all. The hardest thing in the world right now is to be a man. And it's been that way for a really long time, yo. Right? Not to be a male, but to be a man, yo. That's the toughest thing in the world to be right now. The most endangered species in the world right now is masculinity, just being a man. Just being able to say no and say yes and mean both of them when you say it. It's just crazy out here. Word. And again, I'm not trying to separate us, and I'm not trying to put one over the other. I'm just saying, as a person that actually lives it, I can't speak from a woman's point of view. I don't live it. I don't act like it. I allow women to be women when they're around me, so it ain't even about to be none of that. So at the end of the day, I can only speak from experience of what I live. This is the toughest thing to be. Out of all the things, it's the toughest thing to be. It's being a man and then being yourself on top of that, yo. It's the toughest shit to be in your life. I don't care about all the other stuff that we do. It's a lot of things that we do, but that's the toughest thing to be. But look, I'm going to bring my guest up here. One of my guests, you know, she's been on here before. She's also been responsible for linking a bunch of families with me, impacted families, because she's been in a struggle for a while, man. I mean, and it's been years that she's been in the mix helping other people, man, have a voice that feel like they don't have one. And people that are in situations that are just... Man, it's just one of those things where you just feel for the people because you're so glad it's not you, but you're so mad that it's them too, right? When the empathy comes in. So Meg is going to join us, and she brought me another young lady who has a situation going on with her son. Now, we want to... We want to make sure that, you know, to all the people that's watching right now, I want y'all to know the comments will be wide open, and we want y'all to interact with the show. If y'all got questions, if y'all hear certain things and y'all want to respond to it, make sure y'all do. And for those of y'all that's watching, man, y'all know it's a bunch of areas out here, podcast groups or whatever. Share this live, man. Because what we want y'all to do is we want y'all to take this information that we about to give, like my guest is about to come on here. We want y'all to get this information because, like I say, man, it could happen to you. Word. It's not too many people that's far removed from something happening to them that could completely change their life that's out of their control. So we want y'all to be empathetic, but we also want y'all to have y'all ears open and pay attention to the information for tonight. So let's do that, right? Let's get into it. Let's bring my guest on up, right? Let's do this.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Glad to have
you. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's see what's going on. Meg, what's going on?
Hello, good evening. Thank you for having me. Thank you always.
Definitely. And like I say to you always, I appreciate you always connecting me with the families that, you know, that are going through these things and, you know, and allowing them, well, you know, giving them the alley-oop to say, yo, this is a cat that you could come on this platform and he gonna get that out for you. He's gonna let you get that information. And I'm also gonna do more than that after we do the show, like I do for all my guests, right? But yeah. Before we get into all that, let's do this. Let's start with you, Rashonda. Can you please introduce yourself to the audience and tell them why you're on the platform this evening?
Yes, I'm honored to be on your platform. I'm Rashonda Russell. I'm fighting for my son, Rayshon Martin. So I just want to give a little insight of what's going on with Rayshon.
There you go. And then Meg, let's go, Meg. Tell everybody why you're on the platform this evening.
Yeah, so my name is Meg Kettler. I'm a legal consultant. I specialize in high stakes cases. I'm not an attorney, but I do documentation preparation, advocacy, and compassion. And that's probably what, you know, a lot of people lack that we need more of. So I'm an educator. I love to explain, you know, the legal stuff and how it works and discrepancies. And as always, appreciate you for having, you know, people on that we can be the voice for the voiceless.
Yeah, facts, yo. And definitely, and like I said, I appreciate y'all for trusting me enough with the stories that people bring on. Because like I said, a lot of people, I'm the first person that they talk to about these situations. And that's an honor to be in that space, right? Because, you know, everybody gets these platforms and you know how it go. Everybody looking for that moment to go viral. But when it comes to situation like this and being real, very few people are willing to do that because it's a slower walk to that viral space when it's real substance that got to be given, right?
Right.
But look, let's do this, yo. Rashonda, let's start with you because we got two young men that we want to talk about tonight, right? Because from my understanding, these two young men are together in the space that they're in, trying to help each other get to a better space, which is something that we need to talk about a little bit too as well, because like I said in my intro, it's so many of us are going through things and we feel like we're the only one that's going through it. And suffering through so many different things like abandonment issues and stuff like that, it can literally lead people to a place where they feel like they're by themselves. So, Rashonda, let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about your son and let's give a little bit of detail about what the situation is real quick.
Yes, this is so important. You know, Rayshon Martin was a 17-year-old that was first-time offender that was sentenced to 30 years, you know, that was mentally diagnosed as incompetent, where they failed him. They honestly failed him. You know, his attorney, Michael Pryor, coerced him into a plea, you know, a plea. And that was not right at all. When the courts and everyone knew, when he was ordered by the court to take be tested to see if incompetent to stand trial, and it came back and showed he was incompetent to stand trial, and his attorney coerced him, the DA allowed it, the judge allowed it. The judge was David Emerson. He resigned in 2021, which I'm still trying to figure out why he resigned instead of not retiring after 30 years. it's a lot, you know, it's just a lot. And Rayshon has been, you know, it's just the, you know, the system, period, you know.
Right. So let me ask you. So, all right. So with his situation, he was deemed mentally incompetent to stand trial. So was the crime. So let's talk about a little bit about what he was charged for in the beginning. What was it that he was charged for that they wanted to give him a plea of 30 years? That's still life, right?
Yeah. So the thing is with that was he had five felony charges. Within those five felony charges, they had put NOLO, which means they had four charges, lack of information. They had no information, so they couldn't charge him with any of those. But they're still on there. It says NOLO. But they had
I'll add to that, Mr. Shonda. So his original, Rashawn was the driver in a botched robbery. It was, you know, they were young kids riding the streets, that type of thing. And then, you know, something went wrong. We're not sure of the, you know, for sure, details of that situation, but they had arrested him on home invasion, armed robbery, aggravated assault times two, kidnapping, and possession of a firearm during the commission of a crime. There was no firearm discovered, as well as there was also, well, was there a firearm discovered, Ms. Rashonda? I forget. I didn't think there was, but the prosecution had deemed that they didn't have enough evidence to stand trial for the four things. So there was five counts. Four of those was, it was called null. It wasn't null posse, but it was null prosecco, or I'll have to spell it because, you know, Latin with legal stuff, but it just means.
Right.
For the 30 years. Okay, so for the 30-year sentence, that's just one charge. That's the only thing they could charge him with.
Oh, wow. So,
and he was the driver. It was first, situation.
It was the first, so he was a driver in a botched armed robbery. And from that robbery, it was multiple charges added on to him just based on everything that was supposedly taking place.
Right.
All right. Exactly. So, but most of the charges got dropped because they didn't have enough information on the ones that they did. So the one that they did try to stick him on is the one that they gave him the 30 years for.
Correct.
Right.
So, all right. So was it robbery or was it attempted robbery? Did they actually take something from the person? Did they actually?
But see, this is the thing. In the midst of saying a robbery or anything, when my son was stopped, he was walking down the street, him and another friend. So they wasn't even with no one when all of this stuff took place. You see what I'm saying? The police got a call of, you know, these, they described whoever they were looking for and saw them walking.
Oh, gotcha. So they never found them at the scene of the crime?
They never was with no vehicle. They was never with no vehicle.
Right.
So what happened? Yeah.
Okay. So I'm confused. And so where did the information about the driving come into play then if they were walking?
Right. Exactly.
It doesn't say that in none of the paperwork. There's no link to, so to charge somebody with a crime, you have to do without reasonable doubt. And you need a weapon. You need something happening in the commission of a crime, video footage. You need really important factors because you're messing with somebody's livelihood. You know, 30 years to a 17-year-old child who's not even adult and an adult yet. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And so even with that, that happened. And then within a month, the court had ordered for a mental evaluation for him. He had the IEP growing up as a young child. So he always had mental health issues.
Gotcha.
So that's how we feel he got into that situation in the first place, is he would be easy to ploy. You're believable. Oh, this is going to be a great idea. You know, I could sell you whatever, or, a good salesperson can. So it's crazy. The information itself is absolutely absurd. I've obtained all the documentation and I actually have a timeline. So on October 31st, 2016, there was an arrest date and offense date for the felony charges, the home invasion, armed robbery, aggravated assault, kidnapping, and possession of a firearm, commission of a crime. but there was none ever recovered. So a formal indictment was filed on May 12th. A warrant was issued by a grand jury, which should be noted that a grand jury is the only time that a person, like say if a police officer shoots and kills somebody, they can be in that grand jury for their indictment. But if we do something like that and we're being indicted, we can't, we don't have like the law on our side to let us be there. And they're hard to get trained. You can't ever find out who the grand jury is. I've tried for certain cities. It's close to impossible. So to continue on with, for the timeline, June 15th, there was appointment of counsel. And then within June 20th, 3 days, there was a special plea of incompetence to stand trial requesting transfer to the Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities. And that was the, that's what the plea was supposed to be. He never once went to a behavioral health and developmental disability place ever. And the lawyer, so happens, Michael Pryor, I've been on a conference call with him and Miss Rashonda. He treated her like she was less than. And that was so frustrating to me because I got linked with her specifically due to Mario Williams. Her got stabbed in jail as well and has a pending civil litigation. And so with these big sentences in Georgia, you know, because we've had on Kevin Upkins and some other people, they give big sentences. And so my thing was like, why? You know, like, shoot, we want to get a money, of course, but like, why can't we get him free too? You know, like, it just makes sense. It's always worth a case review. And so we just started looking at stuff and it happened way too quickly. Like for them to order a mental health evaluation and then within a month, you're doing a special plea. Like, but he was just incompetent. So you can't, like, they got to hold you until you're competent to stand trial. That's a, they have to. So the system definitely failed Rashawn in a lot of places. But this is a story that we hear over and over again.
And but, you know what? That's the messed up thing, though. Because it's one of those repeating over and over stories about how things are just done to us any kind of way. And then the way that we have to, or the hoops that we got to jump through, or anything that we have to go through just to try to, you know, figure things out, because none of that makes sense. And I think to them, they know that. Because I wouldn't, I'm trying to figure out, like, the people who were supposed to be robbed, were, did they, where are they, like, how did they... It's just a lot.
So the witnesses, the funny thing, Rob, the funniest thing about this, and it's not funny, it's sick, but like what is crazy is they, he definitely had an IEP. We did mention that, Ashley. Thank you so much for watching.
Wait, before we go any further, just explain to people what an IEP for those who may not know.
So an individual learning plan. So if you have like, if you're autistic, if you have a learning disability, it's an individualized learning that, you know, brings a special like waivers and programs that can help you like better.
It's a state document for the school system that shows a person education level, where they're mentally at. Like if you do this, you're at, say you're 18 and 17 and you're at a second grade level or things of that sort of thing. It's kind of show a placement of your mental abilities.
Gotcha. And
Rashawn had a mental eval while he's been incarcerated. What was the grade level they said, Rashawn?
About second grade, I want to say.
Okay, so... All right. So what I'm trying to understand is, because we understand that a lot of times people learn differently, right? They put everybody in the same scenario and try to expect people to learn the same way. And then when they all don't learn the same way, then people get diagnosed with, you know, some type of disability or whatever, because of the way that it's the style, right? And it's the way people learn things. Everybody don't learn things the same way. Sometimes people have to learn things based on what their interests are, right? Not just based on academia. But regardless of that, what I want to know, because I'm sure, you know, damn, because I just to, for the fact that they got arrested while they were walking and not just, you know, the crime itself. This is why I say it's tough being in this position that we're in, because when it's time for us to come together and help each other in situations like this, this is where I say the empathy is supposed to come in at. Because if all the details of this case is the way that it is, then it needs to be constant, you know, like I don't care, like constant press conferences, constant, it got to be things that happen, right, that take the community to join in on it, where we keep bringing awareness and shedding light to the people who are actually doing this. Because the fact that they just did that to him, knowing that mentally that he was at a certain level, not saying that he wasn't, regardless of his learning level, you know, mm-hmm. like if he really, if they was really responsible for robbing people, then you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you don't really take a rocket science to rob nobody, right? So we can't even put that in the perspective of that. But what we want to do is that we understand that when it comes to us as a group of people, and the fear, like I talked about earlier, and the fact that we live in fear, when we get around the law or these other things just because of who we are, we liable to say and do things that are just not right, because we under some type of pressure thinking if we say something that they want to hear, that we going home. And I'm only saying we, because we're all looked at the same, regardless of if little man had a second grade reading level or a person got a college degree. Mm-hmm. They don't care when they look at you, right? They don't see your education when they look at you. They see a victim or a target. That's what it is. So when it comes down to him, it's that. And that's why I feel bad for y'all, you know, especially you, Rashonda, in that particular sense, because, you know, you knowing or having to raise your child with this, this mental disability, and at the same time try to defend it, but at the same time probably mm-hmm. getting blamed for it as well.
You know, right? But you know what? My biggest thing is, you're right. Right. My biggest thing is this, though. You got to think, you have a person that's coming from a mental disability or just that sort of thing, period. And you put them in a hole, and you in a hole for 9 years, 24 hours a day. That's a lot. What do you, I mean, mental is going to be beyond.
That is crazy. Right.
So Rashawn has been in solitary
confinement
for 9 years.
9 years. 9 years. Yes.
He's been in solitary confinement for 9 years straight?
He's still 9 years. Now.
Let me tell you how the system does it, though. They do, what they do is they have you at a certain location, certain prison. This is all Georgia. So you got to think, you're at a certain location. They call you and they say, oh, we're going to put you in tier one, tier two. Now, this is all the whole. You know what I mean? So you got tier one, tier two. People been in there on tier one, tier two, 5 years. 6 years, like my son, 9 years. Every time they move him from prison to prison, he goes into the hole. That's a different prison. How long they know you've been in a hole if they not caring and looking at your paperwork when you go from one prison to the other? My son get transferred warden to warden because the wardens are being, it's a litigation of things that my son got going on with them. So they're making it hard. You see what I'm saying? So but he's still working.
Let me jump in real quick. So with Rashawn's civil stuff, he was stabbed 9 times over, was it 9 times?
No,
times
no. He was just stabbed twice in the back.
Okay, so he was stabbed twice while in prison, while on solitary confinement, while he had a negotiated plea as a mentally ill
person. When he got stabbed, they put him in a shower and left him in a shower for 2 days. It took the next guards coming the next day to find him in a shower. Two lady officers. All these are grievances, but I got so much to say, and I'm going to tell you, when these inmates, and this is for all inmates, this is not just based off of my son, I'm going to be an advocate for the ones that don't have an advocate, because the thing is, you have people out here trying to do grievances, and they thinking it's going to a buzzman, where it's the prison one, the prison system is the ones that's looking over the grievances. So mm-hmm. how are you going to justify what somebody did that's wrong? You're taking up for each other. Every grievance my son put in got overlooked. Overlooked. Now we going over to people that's over grievances. Because how can you keep overlooking things that's serious? My son was handcuffed 15 hours. They put the handcuffs on him at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and took him off the next day. The same officer that put the handcuffs on, his hands was behind his back. He couldn't feed himself. He couldn't do anything. Plus, he had a cellmate. He had a roommate. They all got roommates here, there. So just imagine things that you're enduring that you can't even do your time or anything like that when you're constantly being punished. My son been in the strip cell over 112. It's so deep. It's so deep. So, and you keep bringing it to their attention. And my son has exceeded on grievances. He can't do, he every time he do a grievance, they're going to transfer him. Mm-hmm. Then they do secret transfers.
Right.
And warden to warden. And then the other warden just passed the message on. The things that's in the system not even being shown or what it is. Because when I call, I'm a mother that calls. I'm going to call and I'm going to check them when they do something that somebody, that he tells me something that goes wrong. I'm going to do that because if it's the law is the law, I'm his voice.
Right.
I got to be his voice because they're not listening to him. You know, I can't. I that's my only child. I can't let my only child be. It's just what it is.
Yo, so listen. All right. So let me try to understand this real quick, yo. So You're saying that he's been in solitary confinement for 9 years straight, right? He gets stabbed in solitary confinement.
Well, he wasn't in solitary. No, let me rephrase that. He was stabbed. He wasn't in solitary confinement when he first got transitioned. So when you get first transitioned, sometimes they leave you out in the little area, you know, the little commissary area, you know, the little area.
Yeah.
And then later on, then they put you where they're going to put you. So that's, yeah.
In that transitional period, he got stabbed.
He got stabbed. And that was around COVID time, though. That was around COVID. So you think that happened around COVID. And the prison system's been shut down for what, 2 years? Your court shut down 2 years. You can't, when you do grievances, you can't go nowhere because the courts is closed. So it was just so many things that was going on within, you know, it just kept adding up to the point where if you don't say nothing, what's next? And it's not just I say for my son, this is for other people that's enduring the same thing, mental illness. That, you know, it's a lot that goes on that who's going to change and who's going to help fix it. They got us turning against each other. All of us. Mm-hmm. It don't matter what color you are. Everybody's turning against each other because that's just what it's just bad.
That's what the system is designed to do, is to put us against each other so we can't overtake forces because it's supposed to be us, the people.
Right.
So, and I see so that our solution time, for man. Yeah, our solution for Rayshawn is we have over the weekend. I have a great army, including yourself, Raw. I appreciate you, man. I teamed up with Say Their Name Monuments. We got Ashley McKenzie on the podcast, as well as Laquana Alexander with Georgia Street Groomers, and they opened up their homes and heart and for Miss Rashonda, and they are able. They got her press conferences that happened. Past couple of days, and then we're trying to get her a power of attorney so she's able to submit documentation on his behalf. And then we're going to file a habeas and try to get him free. We try to bring solutions. It's easy to talk about the problem, but
the solutions is important. But that's why I like having y'all on, because because that's the thing. We get into the fact of what's next, because what the audience need to know is exactly what's going on, right? Yeah. Because those little details that y'all giving right now, it's somebody that's in there who don't have, like I said, abandonment issues run so rampant in our community. Yeah. There's somebody in there that their family just left them in there. Right. Mm-hmm. And these things are happening to them. And nobody knows what's going on. So it takes certain things. And I hate to say this, but I have to say this, right? Because sometimes our purpose, the way that we find our purpose, it's not always a traditional way of just waking up one morning and saying, that's what I'm supposed to do in life. A lot of times things happen to shape us in the road that we're supposed to go. And then we understand our purpose. Now, that also goes for the person that's going through the brunt of it. Like I said, son, you know, like maybe somewhere along the line, people counted him out mentally based on education and stuff like that. But whatever he's going through, because y'all are out here fighting and bringing the word out and letting people know. And I hope y'all go further and get with the rest of the moms and y'all I start going to Congress, right? Always. I hope that's what people start doing, start hitting DC and start really making that noise, because that's what's next, right? But what I will say is this, right? Whenever y'all are the voices for people, like you just said, Ms. Fashonda, y'all speaking for all the cats out there.
I'm speaking for everybody.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's happening to, like, it's not just happening to your son, it's happening to other people.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I mean, you know what? And it's a lot in there that, like you said, that don't have nobody. So, you know, with me and Meg Keller and a couple of other ladies, we're getting together, LA Pink, and we're going to get together, Street Groomers, we're going to get together, and we're going to try to figure out how to help people that's in these situations. Like I said, it starts with Rayshawn, but it's going to go with many, you know, and that's what we're going to do. You know, we need to. If we don't do it, we don't do it, who will? Sorry, no, man.
No, you're good.
It's a fact. And it's,
it's crazy because Laquana and I, or LA Pink, as she's known, we never in a million years thought that we'd be sitting down like on a call writing a petition for somebody that's been in jail. It started with Casey Watley in Atlanta. He was 19 years old and had been held in jail for 5 years for a murder that they didn't even have him sentenced yet for. And, you know, it was one petition that got him free. And so you need an attorney? Yes. Like, we are not attorneys. The biggest indicator, we are not attorneys. But there's a blueprint to how this system can be, like, around it.
How
in
you
our
can work it. Yeah.
There's a gray area.
And that's what people need to learn. They need to learn every bit of it, right? To understand that, like, yo, this could be you. But the fact that y'all are fighting for those who don't have a voice, and even though they don't know it, like if somebody right now in a dire situation in one of them cells somewhere who don't know that they have people like y'all out there fighting for them, because somebody else is going through the same thing that they're going through and they just have no idea. But that's how we are set up to be, right? They set us up out here for us to be so separate that we forget the things that we have in common, right? They use those things to separate us to the fact that we don't understand. Like, look, I said this in the intro, the struggle that we all go through, well, it may be a little bit different, but it's still similar. Because even Ashley, right? Ashley McKenzie, she's commenting a lot. But, like, just what she's going through. And then, like, I think about people who have their only child, right?
Yes.
Or what that means to be, to look at your legacy.
That type of loss, right? Yeah,
right?
And a legacy.
And then be willing to stand up and fight for somebody else, knowing that you personally can fall up in somebody's corner and ball up and don't really, but you don't. You still take the energy and you push for other people, man. That's like I tell y'all, man, women have a superpower. Men have a superpower. Human beings have a superpower, but very seldom do they tap into it, right? Because what they do is, because they can't fly and they can't walk through a wall or something, they don't believe that they got one. And y'all really do, because the strength that it takes to overlook your own scenario to help somebody else, selflessness is a superpower, yo. Because you can very well just be about your own business, you know, especially when it's your only child, right? Like, yo.
If it wasn't like, for my son being who he is, or how he is, I'm telling you, I probably wouldn't be as strong as I am. Rayshawn has me this strong, to be honest. He has me because this is what he wants. He wants to be known. He wants it to be heard. He wants to fight for everybody that don't want to fight. Not say don't want to fight, but don't want to take the heat.
Have the means to know how,
or to
right.
give me attention. You know, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice when you do that. They're not playing in these prisons. None of them.
No.
You know, I mean, it was just a death in Hancock, in Georgia, just today. Like, it's bad. It's so bad. But you got to speak up. You got to say something. Because if not, what's next? What's next? Who wants to get on here and speak on their business? Like, what's next?
It's going to keep happening. And as long as we're separated as a group of people, right? And it shouldn't be based on color. It should always be based on struggle, right? Because, you know, so often we all go, it don't matter what your skin color is. A lot of times we're going through the same shit, you know? And at the end of the day, what you will always find somebody who is going through something similar to you, right? And then mm-hmm. you'll realize that, oh my God, that's happening to them too. Because like we say in our community, we think the worst things only happen to us. In the Caucasian community, they feel like they're the only ones that things happen to. In the Asian community, like even what's going on in LA right now, think about all the Latinos that's feeling like they're the victims right now. When they not understanding, like we all put our own selves in a victim mistake because we don't stick together, because we look at each other based on a freaking skin color. Right. And it's the reason why we feel like we're supposed to be grouped or separated versus looking at the circumstances that we're in and saying like, look, yo, that can happen to you too. Now, we in Georgia, so we understand that people of color in Georgia, it ain't a thing for y'all down there, yo. So I understand. Like, yo, like, listen, just being whatever they call us, black, whatever they call us, in the South, listen, when we were responsible for building the South for free, that's the biggest disrespect of it all. Like, the descendants of the people who come out of the South were responsible for the South being the people that was up so much they was because people worked for free. Slavery wasn't a paid servitude. That was free indentured service. And the descendants of those people...
Do you know how much they probably get an inmate?
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'm proud that you said that, Mr. Shauna, because in my county jail in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, now this is a county jail. So remember, we're talking about state jails in Georgia. So we're talking about a bigger rate. Per diem during the summer months, it's at least $128 per inmate. In my county jail, there's over 800 inmates, and they want to make a facility for 1,200. You do the math. That's a lot of money that they're getting for putting us in jail, for criminalizing us. And that's what we're paying for them to be in jail. So around $150 a day.
Mm-hmm. And then we all be worried about the wrong thing, because then when we think about it, like, yo, a lot of these prisons that these people are in are privately owned prisons, right? Even the ones that's in the state level, they still privately own prisons. And then when you go to find out that who owned the prisons, it'd be some of your biggest sports figures. You know what I mean? Record labels, Hollywood studios, and big business, Fortune 500 companies. These are the ones that pretty much own the private prisons, and they're building private prisons as a business. And like you just said, Meg, there's the breakdown of the business of per diem. That's a per diem. That has nothing to do with everything else that they get for the month, because they have to get supplies for them. They have to have, it's just a bunch of stuff, and it's a bunch of contracts.
Well, they
out here to go out to people.
If you look at the trauma, I want to mention this too, because this is something that doesn't get spoke on enough. For these impacted families, whether it be police officer involved shootings, car seal death, whether it be wrongful incarceration, across the board, impacted family, the amount of trauma that they're all feeling, you're talking about not just the person directly impacted, you're talking about people that are secondary impacted. So like mamas, sisters, brothers, grandpas, grandparents, like that's a lot. And to be taken away from somebody that you love so much, you know, that's something that, that's why I say I try to give people so much compassion, because that's something like when you die in jail, the warden calls you. What's the warden's job? To protect their assets.
Facts.
They don't care about compassion. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that we have to lead with compassion. And I always tell like the impacted families to turn your pain into purpose and take let that be your vehicle that you drive in and make every day count.
Exactly. 'Cause they have to.
It would eat you alive.
And that's a fact.
You know, I just want to say something on that, Meg, also. Because I was just thinking, I just seen a picture, a video on Facebook, right? And he was an inmate. It wasn't an inmate. It was just a person imitating an inmate, right? And someone shared a video saying like, hey, you see all them over there for ice? The officers put two things of ice, but you got 50 guys over there that all want that ice. How many of them you think somebody gonna hurt each other to get that ice because they all want ice?
Right. That's a fact.
They do that. They do that. Instead of saying, hey, everybody is entitled to ice, how much money they get for each person, mm-hmm. and they fighting over ICE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're fighting over everything that it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be bad. It shouldn't be like that. Store, they make a punishment. Clothes, they make a punishment. I'm not even able to buy my son anything or send him anything because of these civil suits that they have. So they're punishing every little thing to make him. He can't even get store like that. Everything is a punishment.
He was on food restriction. We have a whole list of stuff.
There's a lot of things that they do, and it's out of spite. Being mad because he's letting you know, I'm letting you know that I'm not shutting up. I'm not letting it go. I'm coming for you. And he's letting it be known because he feels like
ICE is immigration.
Right. But it's not just him. It's a lot of people in there that need help, that has mental help. They're not getting any of that treatment. None. Fighting to get a shower, begging to get a shower.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's really bad. But who's going to fix it? You got to have somebody got to be able to just say, you know what, when is enough enough? Until it's you, till it's your loved one, you know?
But even then, it's too late, right? Because the people that you didn't rally behind, you're going to want to rally behind you. And I think that's the biggest thing about all of this is that people, this is why I don't particularly love y'all's story, right? Because y'all going through this. But I love the fact that y'all are transparent enough to want to come on a platform to tell it, because I'm telling y'all, social media is the way. And I understand, because I tell a lot of guests that come on, like, listen, even after the show, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to clip it up. I'm going to edit. I'm going to promote. I'm going to give you what you need. Now, you got to keep pushing it. You got to use these videos and tag the senators, tag the state representatives, tag these people, bring more awareness to what's going on.
Just keep
going though, right? Because here's what happens. Go ahead. What you gonna say?
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying whenever people, their reputation is at stake, it changes the way that they view things. As long as nobody knows what's going on with them and their image is a certain way, they'll continue to move that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's think about it, right? Yo, like, they will continue to move that way. But once their image is tarnished, or once people are starting to look at them sideways, then that's when they want to figure something out. So social media is the quickest way to do that. And I get it. You know what I mean? It takes more than just one person to do it. But if that one person is consistent, boom. It's going to get to the people that it need to get to, especially when they're using hashtags and the right ones. But let's do this, because I want to talk a little bit about, because what y'all said was, I know in the beginning there was another young man that's with your son, that's things are going on with him as well, right?
Maybe so, tag him yet.
Let's talk about him. Let's talk about him real quick, too.
So we got in contact with Javonte Nunez. Javonte is from New York. He's not even from Georgia, but the narrative around, and I was scared because whenever I went for an open records request, and I've been doing this, for over 6 years now, Fulton County is where he was charged at. Fulton County denied me the records request completely. That's the first time they've ever done that. And they said that it was pending an investigation. And I said, wait, what? That doesn't make sense. So it made, instead of people like shying away and being like, okay, I can't touch that, it made me like, I'm a very inquisitive person. So I was like, why? Is something majorly wrong? Like, why? So, but there is ways around, there's always a gray area. And we've really learned, like, our team has learned to, improvise. You got to improvise to find what you need. And so we can obtain records a different way than going directly through the county clerk's office. So I was able to obtain the records. And this guy got a lot. So the media narrative is that he traveled from New York to Georgia and got a straw buyer. It was gang related, but they couldn't prove anything, but it was automatically gang related. And they gave him two consecutive life sentences for one body, but he had a co-defendant. So the co-defendant was given like 35 35 years or something. This other boy was given life. So I'm like, okay, you piqued my interest. Well, I got the discovery paperwork. There was no gun ever found. This boy was never offered a mental health evaluation. And he had the same thing, IEP. He was a guard, like, I don't want to say a guardian of the state, but like the state gives you special like programs to support you. The police don't care about any of that. You know, like, right. And a lot of attorneys will not bring that up at trial. And so, but that's crucial because you have to look at people's mental health. That's where it all begins. Whether it leads to incarceration, whether it leads to substance abuse, it starts there. And it's our undiagnosed issues, or what are we not taking medication for? We got to be like proactive with ourselves. But I was like, okay, so this is weird. So it's the same prison. They're in Valdosta State Prison in Georgia, both in solitary confinement. They want them as silenced and oppressed as humanly possible. Come to find out, there was no gun with Javonte. And it's just been, it just continuously blows me away because these young men are just thrown away. And two consecutive life sentences for one body? How does that? He was convicted under old District Attorney Paul Howard, which had corruption links to him, which could give him the jury was a hung jury. Like, they throwing black men's lives away in Georgia. Like, it's nothing. Look at Kevin Upkins. There was no, for Kevin Upkins, we spoke about Kevin about a year ago.
There was
no direct link to him and the robbery. But they gave him life in prison. There was nobody dead, nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And he risked it all. He risked it all to come on here too.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, a lot of people after his story, a lot of people were hitting me too, and they were just like, "Damn, like how bad they feel for, you know, him and the things that they go through." And me personally, man, I just, man, you know, you ever be at a spot where you just don't know what to say, like, you know what I mean? Because you can't imagine mentally, because both of you ladies been saying this all night, is about the mental health of these young men. Like, what could they possibly, like, their mental has to be so wrecked. But then again, it could be a difference, right? They could be really not, they could be in more control of their mental based on, you know, the fact that y'all are out here fighting for them. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of anything positive that could give a person.
Like, that would be absolutely absurd.
Mentally. Yeah, because you need that, yo, because, man, you know how many people check out? People go through less things and they take themselves out of here.
And even for us, if we look at, you know, us trying to get them free, and even the success stories we have had, we worry about too on the back end of things, are they going to be able to re-enter into the community as okay individuals, you know, like, and be, functioning adults? Because we don't know if they've been in solitary confinement. They're the most vulnerable. And so our next goal is to come up with like a 6 to 12 month like transitional living to really like blueprint it out for these guys to make sure they're offered the domiciliary care, the medical, the, you know, all of that and one service. Yeah. So there's like a legal part of it. And then there's like the reentry. But yeah, it's definitely, we got to come with change because there's too many problems at the table. How are we going to make a solution?
Yeah. So it's just to try to figure out how we can, you know, let people know that it's not easy to get on here to open up, to say things about what's going on. But if you don't do it and you stand up for yourself, who's going to do it? So you got to come up and come forward. It's not hard. Believe it or not, it's you can do it. You can do it.
Yeah. And you got to encourage more people, because the main thing that people do is because they know that for a certain level of things, you know, they get the blame. Because, you know, I've had parents on here who, you know, they child, you know, by the police, you know, they child was unalived by the police.
Narrative.
And the main thing that the comment people are saying is that the parents, it's the parents' fault. They didn't raise them like this, and they didn't raise them like that. So whenever y'all get up here, this is why I say it takes a certain level of bravery. Even though y'all, I know y'all on a mission, but it still takes a certain level of bravery to be brave, you know, to do it, because you are gonna get blamed. Like, y'all gonna get blamed, and if the dads, because right. Think about how often I talk to moms. I haven't talked to one dad yet.
Wow.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? That's like, anytime I've been talking to an impacted family about something that's going on, it's been a mom. It ain't been a dad yet. I ain't had a dad come on. And I'm not saying that the dads aren't around and they not involved, because I understand men are different in the way that they communicate. I understand that. I'm saying that. I've only had the chance to talk to moms in this particular right. space, right? Mm-hmm. So that's another stereotype that we get looked at. Like, right, oh, so these black boys out here being raised by these black moms, look at what's happening, because they not. But then we can't say that, because for some people, what happened right. to them, they were with their dad for whatever right. time that something happened. They just, you know, well, under their dad's supervision, not necessarily literally, mm-hmm. well, but
right.
you know what I'm saying? Right. So, at the end of the day, we have gotten, like, the way that they paint us is the way that it kind of looks.
Right. And if we don't speak out against it. Right. If we don't speak out against it.
And then right. the men are not advocates for their children in these circumstances, right? The women are. And so it looks like that. It gives off the impression that single mom, black boy system.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Single mom, black boy system. That's the transitional phase for young black men, and I hate that, right? Because so many of us, you know, as men, we did grow up with our fathers, and I'm saying, like, yo, the reason why I know I didn't get in a whole lot of trouble is because my father, but not just my father, because I had uncles too, and all of these different things that. You know what I'm saying? That helped me to understand the difference between things that you do out there got a consequence. But that doesn't have nothing to do with your circumstance. You could just be with somebody, wrong place at the wrong time. Next thing you know, you in a situation. So even that don't matter. You could be raised the best way possible. Both parents, y'all got paper and everything, and you still be at the wrong store at the wrong time with your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, right. you locked up, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying to
or
you
dead.
Is that
or dead for or real, dead, like
right, just from chilling, mm-hmm. right, with your family, you could wind up in a situation where you're not here no more, and that's what I'm saying. Like, so we gotta get off that blaming people by the way things look, because it don't necessarily be that. Sometimes right. just being a black man in America, you're gonna be put in certain situations that just unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unfortunate for you.
Right. But don't get stuck there. No, there's always solutions. That's the biggest, like,
well,
there's always.
That's why I'm glad y'all on, because we got to talk. The solution is that. So let's talk a little bit about the solutions now, y'all. Transitional housing for inmates once they come out. Is there any nonprofit organizations that go through HUD or that are people who have land that can help with development to bring so you guys can get that going? Because
that is our goal. We're just trying to get some grant writing and some things going and try to see that can help us get it started, because you know it takes a village. You know, mm-hmm. it really does take a village. So that is what we really want to do. So once we try to figure out how to help get what we can get far as being able to put something together so they can come out and get real therapy and real treatment, because they're not getting any in there. My son put in a grievance because he ain't been outside. He put in a grievance for, you know, the food. He put in a grievance for everything that he knows up code that they supposed to do.
Right.
You know, now you learn it. He's learning from other people in there. When you in a struggle and you trying to figure it out, what else do you have but trying to figure out something? Listen, you're learning now because you ain't got nothing but time in there. Ain't got nothing but time. Right. So now your brain could come a little bit to understand, like, what can I do? Mm-hmm. I can sit in here and have a mindset of this is my home. I don't want you to have that. That's not your home.
Right.
My son is coming home. So, right. And that's the mindset that you have to have. That's the mindset that he has to have.
Right. And to I'm gonna throw this in as well. To do this, we can only take, again, we're not attorneys, so we can only take it so far. We can do the documentation. Right. We can be the best writers, write the best petition. When it gets to in the courtroom, what do we need? We need revolutionary Georgia hard-ass attorneys that are not afraid to sue the government.
Yeah.
And so if you are one or if you know one, send us a DM. Let's
get into some comments real quick, because I think Ashley made a great point, and I understand that dynamic too, because she was saying the problem with men getting as active as the moms is they don't get the same response as a grieving mother. Right, because our reaction is a lot different, you know, as to where, you know, a mom is coming off a certain way to try to get some, a man is demanding it, right? So that is true. And then she also says that the men are looked at as a threat many times, which is true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which is true. The only thing that I'm suggesting is that even if the men are not vocal, we got to have the men more present in the picture. So whether they're standing behind the women, just showing that the women do have backup and they do have somebody that's willing to defend them, they just letting them do what they do. Because just think about it, outside of anything that got to do with tragedy, let's think about real life. Women do all the talking anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Y'all do all the talking, all the tea and everything else that come through y'all, right? That's just how I go. Mm-hmm. Women gonna talk that talk. So, but that's the thing, visually. Like, even when I looked at some of the press conferences, it was a bunch of women and kids out there. I'm like, yo, where the men stand? That's just me, right? And I think about that too, even when it comes down to the representation of the states, right? When it comes Congress and senators and stuff like that represent these states. I'm seeing the women out here, but where y'all men at? The other people on the other side, their counterparts, they got their wives and husbands and everybody else standing with them. Where y'all's at? Right? Mm-hmm. So one thing is just to look. Solidarity sometimes need a look as well too, and I get it, but she's right. You will get a different response as a man trying to figure out what's going on with your kid. You'll wind up being locked up just right the same time trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Right?
Same situation.
Yeah, I get that. That makes a whole lot of sense, and you know, damn if you do, damn if you don't, right? But let's get to some other comments. She's also said the program is all hands down. If I'm remembering correctly, they will be coming to Georgia. So we want to talk about some of them programs too. We want to make sure y'all do it. Quavisha, that's my cousin. She's been on here active too. And she is saying that she was saying earlier that thank you guys for coming up. You know, she said she wanted to thank you know, you guys for sharing, because it's been going on for decades and they've been getting away with it, right? So and as her, like I said, she's my cousin, and even in our family, it's been so much that we've gone through as a family and taken so much losses and going through so much different things that I can always relate to people. That's why I'm so empathetic to people. And I'm like, yo, like you say, Meg, you be like, yo, can I do? I'm like, look, whoever you got, let me know. If I can schedule them, coming on. Like, we ain't got to worry about
it. We appreciate it. We most definitely appreciate it.
We've all moved together. That's amazing. Like, it shows whenever, like, a higher power definitely, like, creates the change within us to then, you know, find, like, amazing individuals that move how we move simultaneously without us even having to, like, we know it's cool. Like, I called you. I was like, oh, I'm going to come on tonight. Okay, no problem. Can we do some stuff? Yep, let's go. You know, like,
already
your counterpart, you know, like that's amazing how it works for us. I'm
But I also want to thank Meg on here too, because I want to say that Meg has, from day one I met her from my attorney, that she boots on the ground, like she gave it her all. It was never a hesitation. And you know, Meg has things too with, you know, her son is autistic, so she is, when I tell you, a strong woman trying to do this, working from home with an autistic son, and he be busy, you know, and that's the thing. And she still gives it her all. She still come out here and try to fight for everybody and help everybody that I see that comes to her, that I could just see within this last month, you know, that appreciate if I had anybody and say, hey, I know somebody that's going through something and can you help them? And she stepped in and she was like, hey, I can do this. This is what you can do to help people that really is getting in situations that it's a whole bunch of different types of situations. It ain't not just say inmates, it's all over. You know what I mean? But we keep it within what we can do, you know?
The power belongs to us anyway. So I'm just giving the power back to who it belongs to.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what I'm about.
Because y'all been helping people that's been dealing with the like I said, unaliving from the police, unaliving from the neighborhoods, motor vehicle unalivings by people being done by hit and runs. Just all of the things that people need advocacy, and then people who are wrongfully jailed. And you know, I'm gonna be honest, man, y'all are the ones, man. And you know, I know in these circumstances it's not something that you wish to get props for because of what y'all doing, but man, yo, I just want to give y'all props. I want to give y'all flowers. I just want y'all to stay encouraged. I hope, you know what I mean, like y'all never give up. Y'all continue to see the light inside of y'all, because I know it's dark times that y'all living in, but y'all are a bunch of light.
We you gonna get judged.
And I want y'all, and I believe y'all. Listen, I believe y'all.
All
man.
It takes is one time. And then once it was crazy because within, so there was Casey Whatley, 3 months from the petition date till the oral argument, he was out. Three months for David Scott. He was sentenced to life in prison. He had served 35 years or something crazy. Street groomers helped with that as well. And he got out. And so now Rashawn and now Javonte, I'm like, all right, let's keep going. We got the momentum going. Let's go.
Yeah, it's to show that we got faith and we believe in other people. Like, it's always, you know, you can get a second chance. It, you know, it's just all in what it is. You know, where's the flaws or where they went wrong at? What rights you didn't have? They breaking so many amendments. Your 14th Amendment, 13th Amendment, 8th Amendment. You know, all these amendments are being broken. Yes, and it has to change. Like, who's going to do it? I'm the vessel. I'm going to be the vessel to help my son as well as anybody else that needs a voice.
Right.
Man, bless y'all, man. Yeah, for real. And like I said, man, you know, you guys are doing it on a high level. I still got to get LA Pink on here, yo. We got to get her on, man, because we were scheduled to come on at one point, but something happened down there in Georgia, and she had to handle some business. But we're gonna work that out. We got to get her on as well, too, because she's doing a lot. I mean, I even seen videos of her and Ashley out there feeding the homeless and, you know, the whole nine. Not it's just, you know, that, advocating. Yeah. Yo, listen, advocating for people.
That was, it was an awesome feeling. You know, she took me out on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And Saturday, that is what we did. No, actually, it was Monday. My bad. It was Monday. And Monday, that was an event. And I'm telling you, I did not see so many things that this lady that she has, that God has done. To put her in these places is amazing, you know? Awesome. And if it's people out here that want to help the cause, and that's the thing, it's about helping others to make it more possible for us to do, you know what I mean? So if it's, if it's programs out here that somebody wants to help in the, you know, situation of these inmates, getting residence and people homeless off the street and all of this stuff is what we're trying to do. It's not just inmates. It's helping the homeless get off the streets, you know? Right. And that's what LA Pink's been doing. She's been doing that. She's been getting them placed in locations off the street. So I didn't see it myself. And I said, God is so good. Because God told me that I was going to see something. And this was just the beginning. And just expect what's coming. And know that is my purpose. And then that's where I'm at. That's exactly where I'm at.
Facts. And I'm a firm believer in purpose, yo. I think it's very important. And once you realize why you're here, It gives you a different sense of urgency, right? It gives you a different reason to wake up every morning. It gives you, you know, that energy that you need to push forward because you know that you're doing something. And regardless of whatever the outcome is, that you know that you put the right type of energy into it because of what you, you know what I mean? For what you had to go through because you guys are going through it. It's not just like you're helping people. You're helping yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Come on, and yo, dealing with people with stuff, huh?
And by ourselves, like we know a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here. If you get masters of all skill sets together at one table, working simultaneously together, the impact is so much greater. And that's what it's about.
That's right. It's about the team, y'all.
Yeah, we coming from all different areas, and that's the thing. You know, we coming from different areas. Cause I'm in the medical field, so that's where that was my background. You know, so my passion and everything that I see that these inmates go through that they don't have to go through. You know,
right?
And just don't want to speak up because they see what happening to other people. You know, and having them turn on each other is what it is. That's their mindset that they having when they really don't even want to do it. Nah. They don't want to do it, but you know, that's how you have to have the outlook, you know?
Man, look, y'all, the work is getting done, y'all. And I hope people that are watching tonight, I hope those of y'all that will watch the playback, man, I hope y'all really get involved, man, in whatever state you're in. I hope you get involved. I hope you've seen some of the ladies' names and stuff that's been popping up on the screen. I hope y'all really reach out to them. And if you are a person out there that's dealing with something in the same similar sense, or you're going through something and you just need somebody to talk through it, because Which, like Ashley said earlier, you know, they have a circle. You know what I'm saying? We have grieving circles and counselors because they all have gone through something different. Like all of these moms that we mentioned tonight, I'm speaking to the audience. They have a different set of grievances that they've gone through, but it still affects them all the same way. It's the loss of their child, right? So I want y'all all to understand that if there's somebody out here watching that's gone through something, you're not alone, right? And these people are available to talk to, right? And then even be able to pass certain information that you may not know if you got to get a ball started somewhere. And also for you to understand, too, that the world to your purpose, it's not always going to be an easy one, y'all. But once you realize what your purpose is, it'll be easier for you to get up every morning.
Yes.
I promise you. I promise y'all. All right. Yo, LA Pink, what's up? So, look, like I said, we got to get you on. All right, we gotta figure out something to get you on, yo, because you know, like I said, we gotta make sure this happens. And say their names, monuments.com. We need a lot of people to check out the website, go to the website, check it out, and see what's going on and see what these parents are doing in remembrance of their children and also the fight for justice too, because a lot of these moms or parents, let's just say that, are fighting for justice as well, too, still for their children. Regardless of how long it's been, they're still on the hunt for justice. And we need all of us to come together and pay attention because it definitely could be you. Work.
Right.
And never think that you
can work. Check out streetgroomers.org.
Check out what?
Streetgroomers.org. I got you.
Oh, streetgroomers.org. Make sure y'all check them out too. All right. So before we get out of here, y'all, I want y'all to you know, whatever last words you want to leave the audience with, man, or you know what I'm saying? And also, I want you guys to give them, well, we just gave out a couple of websites, but again, I want y'all to reiterate exactly what it is that they can do to get in contact with y'all to either, you know, somebody whose child or loved one is in the system and they might be going
through email.
And all that. So let's do that.
Reach out to, if you're a police brutality family that involves police officer involved shooting, gun violence, anything in that, you know, systemic issue, contact Say Their Name Monument. For anything prison related, contact streetgroomers.org or hit me up on Facebook, Meg Keller. And across all Instagram, everything, I'm Meg Keller.
Thanks. And look, I want y'all to make sure that y'all do it. Then even if nothing else, like I said, encouraging words do help. They help a lot. Just let the ladies know that somebody out there praying for them, then they can keep pushing. And then everybody else as well, too, because like I said, they're not just fighting for their own children, they're fighting for yours, too. Even those of you whose child ain't gone through nothing yet, you never know, they might. And these people are fighting for them so that if they do go through something, they don't have to go through as much as their children had to go through in order for this information to get out. So let's make sure... Right, for those of y'all that's watching tonight, make sure this broadcast, make sure y'all share it, right? Make sure y'all share the clips when they come out. Make sure y'all move this around because we want to get as much information out as possible because the prison system in Georgia is bananas. I've had so many people on here that's dealing with Georgia, and the state of Georgia alone is just bananas, y'all. Oh, I mean, Mississippi as well, too.
Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? All those other are bad.
All of we they dealing with some things, y'all. So let's join together. Let's get out our own way. All right. Yeah. So look, I want to thank y'all for coming on. Y'all know y'all always got a home here. Y'all got a platform here. Y'all know we need to get some stuff out. Just hit me up ahead of time. We'll try to schedule y'all on. Make sure because, you know, I do get booked up. But we're going to make it happen no matter what, all right? So I definitely appreciate y'all for real.
Yeah, right? Thank you so much.
Yeah, for facts, yo. For real. That's what the platform is here for. Yeah. So for those of y'all that's watching, y'all know the vibes, man. Each and every week, I'm right here on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. We go live, and I got some of the world's most interesting people and the stories, y'all. So I want y'all to make sure y'all keep it locked, man, and follow me, and then, you know, continue to share these stories and stuff like that. Like I said, at any given time, it could be you. Right. So until next week, y'all know what to do. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until then, I'm going to say peace.